Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, good morning, guys, and we're watching greatness. You know, we've been blessed to have people like, you know, Barry Bonds and Thornton and Joe Montana and Rice, and go through all sports, the A's with their sluggers, McGuire and those guys, and this is really special. You know, I wish everybody was healthy so they could make a real serious run at this thing, but in the meantime, that was just a tremendous performance. When you guys, like in the first quarter, you're saying, uh-oh, he's on.
He's on like he's always on. It was incredible. But I got to ask you this, and I was telling the guys, when Steph gets hot from outside, I understand it now. It's still marvelous. But when the way he's going to the rack and how he's added muscle to his core and body, do you think he gets enough credit for that, Saint? Because he looks like a magician in there now.
All right, losing connection with Saint there, Dibs. We'll get him back locked and loaded here on 95.7 The Game.
You got to have Saint on a clean line. You can't have a muddled Saint. You got to, you know, Saint clean, Mr. Clean, Mr. That's clean. Saint. You got to have Saint on a clean line.
Yeah, and it's... who does it better than Matt?
Oh, well, depends which Matt we're talking about. That's, that Matt's not walking through that door till Monday. I'm glad he mentioned Barry Bonds, JD, because you forget just Bonds, how much it was must-see TV every at-bat. You know, in those Giants teams that weren't necessarily that great between 0-2 and the end of Bonds' career, where they kind of struggled. But when you knew Bonds was coming up, you made sure you stayed close to the TV because it was that compelling.
Yeah, it was. You thought something special was going to happen any moment that he stepped into the box, and that's how really Stephen Curry has felt watching this Warriors season play out. I go all the way back to what was it, Game 6 of this season back on January the 3rd. You got the Warriors at 2-3 playing the second consecutive game against the Blazers, and he goes for 62. And I think from that point on this season, that was his – I'm back moment, Goo, where regardless of what this Warriors team was going to become, he was going to be a night-in, night-out showcase. And it's just been, when he's been out there, the sky's been the limit.
Yeah, and we talked about it. We talked about the ramifications if this Warrior team, and it still can happen if they didn't get into the playing game. But I think we got Saint back, fellas. What's up, Saint?
Yeah. What's up, Saint?
I'm blaming this on my daughter, Emily. I was up working in her garage, and I don't like the Wi-Fi reception. I'm filing a big complaint.
I love it. We all need to have a scapegoat, Saint, so that,
I know.
That certainly works.
You're right, though, and you're hitting on something. And when you're playing against a shooter, what are you trying to take away? The open looks. And when you crowd him, what's he going to do? He's going to break you down off of a pump fake, head and shoulder fake, ball fake, and he's going to go by you. Well, that's wonderful, but you got to be able to finish at the rim. He finishes left-handed. He finishes with floaters. He finishes with touch. He takes contact. I just think it's just exquisite the way he goes to the basket now, and that's what makes him so unique and so unguardable. I mean, think about this. Their whole game plan last night was to take him out. End of the first quarter, they double-teamed him, which was smart. I don't know. I think I would have played a triangle and two and just put two guys on him and never leave him. I mean, that's how fabulous he was.
Yeah, they tried to rough him up with the little Campazzo, the Argentine, but Steph was able to shake through that. And how about the offensive output from Draymond Green, Saint? 7 of 8 from the floor and just overall enthusiasm and exuberance. How come he can't repeat that on a more regular basis?
Well, when he hit that corner three and the right elbow jumper, I was like, holy moly. I mean, this is first period, and I'm saying, wow, the guys, they're going to play good tonight. Even though they're really shorthanded, they're going to play at a high level. You know, guys, when you put an NBA team together, it's like putting a puzzle together. And he's a unique piece. When you fit him, when you had Kevin, when you had Clay, and you had Steph, because he's a facilitator on the offensive end. He sees the game two counts quicker than most players do. And then on the defensive end, we don't even have to get into that. The rebounding and all of that kind of thing, this great play switching and containing smalls off the dribble. But when he's not with those quality players, the game is not as easy for him. But, you know, last night we got a glimpse of who Draymond is. It's not just the shot-making. That was wonderful last night. But, you know, his energy, his enthusiasm, his intelligence is just a big, big key to this team.
Saint, what is it about? We're talking with Gary St. Jean here on 95.7 The Game on Steiny Duke Guru and Dibs. What is it about the small ball that unlocks Draymond? Because it almost forces him to compete in a way constantly. And how beneficial can that be to this Warriors team playing without Wiseman the final 18?
You know, they want to give credit to Mike D'Antoni, you know, playing small down there with their 7-second offense. We were doing this in 1989, and when we first came to the Bay Area with Nelly and Mully and Mitch and Timmy. And let me tell you, Doug Moe was running it beautifully in Denver. He didn't play completely small. He did have Dan Issel. But when we were there, we just didn't have any quality bigs. It kind of forced our hand. We loved what Denver was doing. We thought it fit. Let me tell you, it puts a strain, a physical strain on Draymond. But he loves that challenge, and I love the way Steve doesn't use it all the time. He uses it for a while. He takes it off, brings it back on. But you know they think that's their bread and butter. When you get late game in a close situation, that's what you're going to see. And as you know, as we're going down these last 5 weeks or so, you're going to probably see it a lot because of the rookie being down, and that is their best lineup.
Speaking of that, we were bouncing that around, Saint. The fact that Wiseman may not be available the rest of the season, I'm not throwing stones, but I'm wondering how much of that can actually help this team now that they don't have to kind of, you know, worry about getting him up and running. Did that play into the game and the result any at all yesterday?
Well, you could debate that, but, you know, Kevon Looney goes out there and look at him. Geez, he had a goose egg. What did he do? Well, tell me anybody that sets a better screen than him, who boxes out on the boards better than him, who has knowledge of both the offense and defense. So, and I think Steve joked, he said, Toscano Anderson, they had him in the weight room trying to pump him up a little bit to make him stronger so he can play a little bit there. But, hey, you know what? It's next man up. You got to be ready to go. It's a tough setback for the rookie, but, you know, I still think his future's awful bright, and you guys were touching on the schedule. You know, in the old days, we had big whiteboards, so we'd look at who we were competing against for playoff spots, and we'd take, like, the last, 20 games left, and we'd write everybody's schedule down, A, B, and C, Warriors, and then two others. And we'd say, okay, we're going to win this one, this one. This one's tough. Maybe this one, that's an L. You know, we went, and then we did each team, and we projected. We loved it. We had trying to figure out how many we needed to get in, and you guys were touching on the Pelican. They've come alive, you know, playing Williamson at point forward. You know, we've all read about, you know, his scoring ability toward the rack, and, you know, Ingram hasn't been up to par, and yet they're doing pretty good, but they're not real consistent, as are the Warriors, and that's why those teams are down where they are. But it's because the Kings have faltered. It's going to be a two-team race for that 10 spot, unless you guys can spell it out to me differently.
No, and then they'll play three times head-to-head, and that'll really tell,
three
I think,
times.
A lot of the story. Wow. Yeah, a lot of the story, Saint. Great stuff, as always. We'll catch up with you next week, Saint. Good to hear from you.
Hey, guys, and always remember now, what day is this, Tuesday? So this afternoon I'll be opening a bottle of Priest Ranch wine. It's wonderful. And you guys know that I'm going to toast you guys because you're going to head up someday to the tasting room. Mention Saint, and you get 2-for-1 on the tasting.
There you
That's
go.
Right. And I may be doing that about 2:30. So thanks, Saint.
Good
Appreciate
idea.
It.
Dip, see, I had to do that because I had to pinch hit for Steiny.
Yeah, Steiny's always always quick to get the alcohol-related reads in.
Oh, Dip, you'd never have a taste.
Oh, saintly one. Of course not. It's always Lent for me, Saint.
Hey, you thanks, guys Saint. Have a great day.
Appreciate it. All right, let's give away some money. Time for the Splash for Cash contest. Here's your chance to win $1,000. Text the code word TREASURE to 72881. That's TREASURE to 72881. Brought to you by Outdoor Supply Hardware, Patio Garden, and more at Osh.com. This is a multi-state contest. Message and data rates apply. So get in now. Whoa. Dib's getting a little risque on the Zoom call doing the cash dance. That's a whole different version of the cash dance, Dibs.
Oh, yeah. I'm about to crack out these moobs on you, JD. The moobage. Solid B cup. Down from a C.
Dibbers, be real.
Dibbers, tell him.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We'll continue the conversation. Our thanks to Gary St. Jean. Bob Fitzgerald's coming up toward the back end of the 11 o'clock hour as the Warriors get the big win over the Nuggets. That's all straight ahead right here at 95.7 The Game. Where does this one rank for you?
It's pretty far up there as far as the import of the game, the magnitude of the moment, because 53-point games, anytime you get over 50, I mean, that's some elite, elite company. But you do it to pass one of the greatest players of all time, Wilt Chamberlain, as the all-time franchise leader, and you add the cherry on top of the sundae goo, you beat a good Denver team in a spot where you needed a victory after the unsightly loss to Washington. Yeah, you got right against Houston, but you finished up that little home stretch with a nice win over Denver. That, to me, is the cherry on top of the sundae, which is why his 53-point game ranks higher than other great games in his past.
And also, too, well said, Dibs, it was rest in peace, Wilt Chamberlain, but we know he has the history with the Sixers and whatnot. And I just got to say this. Last night, and I know Wilt's in heaven, but I felt like he was passing the keys to the Golden State Warriors and the best Golden State Warrior of all time. And that's what I saw with my mind and imagination, fellas. I felt like Wilt was giving the keys to Steph, so I'll always remember this, JD. There's so many memorable nights and games, but at the end of the day, Steph put his stamp on, I have the most points in a Golden State Warrior uniform, and to me, that was the walk-off of ownership. I have the paperwork. I am the best Warrior to ever do it.
Yeah, and I mean, I think last night only solidifies, I think, what already was true when you look at the three-time champion and the two-time MVP and getting to five straight finals and making 400 threes in a year. I mean, it's just it's greatness on top of greatness on top of greatness. I mean, he continues to have nothing to prove, but at the same time goes out seemingly on a night-in, night-out basis this season and just continues to propel himself to new heights with regularity.
Will you guys push back on me, Dibs, with my Barrett? You know, when I think I say something good, I need some validation. The Barry Sanders with this current team, was there any parallels, or is that a diss to too many people on this Warrior team? Because, again, there is no Clay. There is no Durant. It's just him, and yet he's producing, JD, 30 a game.
Yeah, what's that, seven straight games with 30 or more points and a stretch that he's never accomplished in his own illustrious career. Bob Fitzgerald joining us in about 20, 25 minutes to give more plaudits and more perspective into Steph's great night. But the Barry Sanders analogy, not terrible, but it's tough because, you know, Steph's got the three chips and Barry never quite got it. And it's always hard when you compare anybody to the Detroit Lions and you try to do it in a favorable light. But,
I was just going real quick, Dibs, not to interrupt. I was just going with this year's team and the cast of characters right. That he has to work with. Yeah.
It applies to this year's team, Dibs. I mean, again, you're right. You don't want to go too far down that line, but we've seen it. And look, you don't have to go too far back. I mean, 2 weeks ago, Steph's out. And it starts out, oh, look at this plucky group competitive against Memphis. Oh, they got down big to Philly but came back. Maybe this team can hold themselves up without Stephen Curry for a little while. Then you get absolutely eviscerated by the Sacramento Kings, so I don't think they've won a game since then in the last couple of weeks. Atlanta comes in and thumps you. And then, oh, by the way, you hit the road and you lose, in Toronto by, 53 points in a game you were down by 60. I mean, to me, the comparison actually isn't that crazy as far as this year's team goes, because without him, it's gotten ugly and gotten ugly fast.
It has. And I wonder where Draymond Green would fit into the Lions analogy is all, because he's a Hall of Fame player. So I don't know if Detroit... if that was Scott Mitchell and Eric Hipple. I don't even know who was quarterback. In
Herman
Lions
Moore?
Team.
Herman Moore
yeah,
in
I was
there
going
somewhere.
Herman Moore.
Okay, not bad. And I don't think Megatron was quite
no,
around
he wasn't
yet.
Around.
They didn't overlap in Detroit, I don't think. So it's a little bit different there. But it's just the appreciation. I'm in appreciation mode more than ever for Steph Curry, being where he is. He just re-signed the new deal. So, you got four more years of the chef. And you think about the end of Steph's career and it makes you sad, but then you realize that in the moment, just the ability to watch him for the remaining 18 games of this year and a possible play-in and a possible playoff, it's a treat. It's a real treasure, because before you know it, guys, I mean, heck, it's the year 2021 for crying out loud. And by 2030, you figure even if you give him 9 more years, he'd be 42.
Tom Brady.
Which, I mean, well, 43. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, I mean, that's going to come up pretty fast. Go these years, they're flying by.
Yeah, and JD, I got to tell you, I wanted to make the Tom Brady parallel. Like, are we watching the modern-day basketball version of it? But then I think of the guy in L.A., the King. But the King is 260 pounds, chiseled, full of muscle. And the way Steph Curry is built, he's muscular, but he doesn't have those God-given talents from the basketball gods. And I'm just saying, in an era now of basketball to where the three-pointer is so relevant, I mean, how long does that add to his career? And the fact that he's doing it at 33 years old, I just don't know where I'm going to be or what it's going to look like, JD, when we start to see slippage. Because I told Steiny, and I argued with him ad nauseum, if you tell me he's not the same guy from 6 years ago, it's not coming out on my TV to where I'm like, that's it. He's not good enough in this area. He used to get taken advantage of on the defensive end. You don't even see that hardly anymore.
Well, this year has shown you that he's – closer to being where he was than maybe you could have anticipated coming into this season. And that leads down the path of I'm year to year on it. Like I don't think there's going to be another 6 years of this at this point.
Right.
So the direct comparison to Tom Brady, two different sports, different positions, all of that. I think that at some point sooner than we think is going to become pretty unrealistic. But where I go with it, Dibs, is he's showing you this year, if it's year to year, that next year you could pretty well anticipate that he's going to be pretty close, if not at this level, one more time. And that, at a minimum, leads me down the path of you got to do what you can to try and make one more run at this thing. Because I think we all believed Steph was going to be really good, but I don't think anybody would have thought, all right, he's going to be as dominant individually as he's ever been. To me, you're more apt to want to go out and try and maximize one more run based on what he's shown you this year, to where if maybe you saw a little bit of a decline.
And it's more about how than it is why, because you're right, JD. Why would you want to load up for another run? Well, you see that Steph Curry is one of the 2 to 4 to 5 to 6 best players in our league still at 33.
Yeah.
And Klay coming back, and Draymond and Andrew Wiggins, as much as I make fun of his ineffectual play at times, he's really starting to play much better. Last night, 17 points on 8 of 17, and he plays terrific defense. So he's going to be, yeah, baby. It's K-Wig, JD.
JD's KW, first time.
IG. Smooth play on the weak side, running up and down. But last night, he brought it. He brought the noise. Even though plus-minus-wise, he was a dead zero, dead flat zero, he was awesome last night. So I've made some fun of it, just his very quiet play, his quiet demeanor. But he brought the noise last night, exactly, as we crossfade to some Public Enemy. But you think about next year, JD, and the core of this team, and it's the big four with Wiggins, Draymond, Clay, and Steph. Who can you add? What kind of a player can you add to this team, potentially, using the dangling of the Minnesota pick, your own pick, potentially James Wiseman, if there are any takers? I mean, how do you get better between now and October?
Yeah, it's tough because, for me, if you are going to make those picks and you wind up with the Minnesota pick, and the Warriors obviously are going to keep their own pick, if you're going to make those picks, those have to be ready-made players that fit right into your rotation. And you look at just the trajectory of, say, Jordan Poole, right? And I know he was a later first-round pick, but Jordan Poole, it took a year of he's not ready, and then an off-season. And then he comes back, and he's still better but not quite ready. Then he goes to the bubble in Orlando, and then he comes back, and now he looks like he might be ready. You can't go down that path with either or both of those picks where you're taking a year at a minimum, maybe because they're higher picks than Poole was, to get somebody that you feel like can fit into your rotation. So if you're going to make the picks, and this is a deep draft, then that means the players that you bring in have to be able to plug and play. And I'm talking sixth, seventh, eighth men. You know, guys that are better than Oubre now, and better than Lee now, and better than Bazemore now, and better than Jordan Poole now. If you can't get that plug and play off the draft pick, then you got to be considering a trade.
Yeah, and if I had a dollar, guys, for every time I went to a car lot and saw a car that I wanted, and I just pictured myself riding back home to the union in it, but then I couldn't afford it, you know, I'd be a rich man. And where I'm going is there are cap restrictions, JD and Dibs, and there's implications. And I'm with you. You said it. Ready made. Watching Steph Curry and thinking, okay, we pretty much can count on getting this next year and the year after that. Whatever I can do, or what portfolio I can put together asset-wise to go get me that quote-unquote Bradley Beal, or now there are reports, you know, Kawhi Leonard's going to be available, and I'm like, oh, they can't afford that. But my point, Dibs, is I would look and try to exhaust all possibilities to get that caliber player in a Golden State uniform if that meant parting ways with eight guys that are currently on my team now. And I know it doesn't work that way, but that's how urgent this is. The chef ain't going to be with us forever. Get him some help.
Yeah, that's easier said than done, unfortunately, because, you know, even a player like Bradley Beal, or if it's Kawhi Leonard, you know, I don't think that you're going to have the cap room.
Yeah,
I mean, you're going to be over the tax anyway, so I don't think you can afford to bring in somebody like Kawhi unless you get rid of some of the salary. I'm not a capologist, but it appears, you know, and if you lose Oubre Jr. and you don't get anything back for him, then that's a spot that you're not going to be able to fill. So you're hoping, if Oubre Jr. doesn't want to return, and all indications are that he doesn't want to be a bench player or be your fifth or sixth guy, so he probably is going to leave. But unless you can sign and trade him, JD, you're not going to get anything for him. So I just don't see how you can necessarily get better, especially when your two biggest assets, the Minnesota pick, is unknown, and James Wiseman himself is an unknown commodity. He didn't play enough and do enough, in my opinion, as I play GM, to really be a piece that multiple teams are going to want to acquire sight unseen.
Yeah, I think he flashed enough to where there is some star potential there, but I think you're right. I think these last 19 games that he'll wind up missing, Goo, could have maybe put another team over the top as far as being tantalized into making a major kind of a deal. So the Warriors are not in an easy spot. I mean, there's no doubt about it right now. They want to get better. They need to get better. But how do you go about doing it? And I actually fall short of a star. Like, I don't think the Warriors can get a superstar because that would take Wiseman and the Minnesota pick, which, as Dibs points out, Goo, is an unknown, and maybe your own first-round pick and another player. Like, that's what it takes to get a star. I'm actually falling short of that. I'm talking about, would you trade your pick or the Minnesota pick potentially? Throw Wiseman off to the side. But would you do that to bring in more legitimate depth? Because this team doesn't have legitimate depth that projects forward. They've got a bunch of guys on this team right now that would be great 9, 10, 11 guys.
Right.
Lee, Bazemore, JTA, but they don't have the 6, 7, 8 guys that they need to be in that 4-5 spot. Yeah.
Even 5, 6, 7, 8, Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Haas and Pep Incorporated, Laverne and Shirley. Because you've got – thank
Milwaukee.
You. I had to force that one in there. Yeah. That was a classic shoehorn there. I had to shoehorn that in there. You got your 1, 2, 3, and 4 for next year. Wiggins, Draymond, Clay, and Steph. And JD's right. You've got your 9, 10, 11, 12 – it's your 5, 6, 7, 8, but if you can get, you know, if all of a sudden you get a Bradley Beal and then that pushes Wiggins down to your 5, well, your starting 5, your finishing 5 is as good as just about any other team in the West.
Yeah, and you guys might call me crazy with this because I'm holding on to what, you know, Steph and just how great he's been and what this team can do, not this year, just next year. But let's just say Klay Thompson was playing possum, and I know he wasn't, but let's say his recovery, Dibs, and JD and his availability for next year is actually better, you know, and he was being ultra cautious when he talked to us a few Sundays back. I mean, that would go a long way in regard to, okay, you know, I'm going to use your phrase, JD, the Warriors got action, you know. But if it is slow and you can't count on him right out the gate, JD, I am with you. And I know you haven't given me a name that where there's a tier before a Kawhi or Bradley Beal. You know, I'm into that. Like, that interests me. And I'm like, Joe Lacob, it has to interest him.
The level, the tier is between Steph, Clay, and Draymond, and Damian Lee, Kent Bazemore. Like, it's in between that level. It's Kelly Oubre in terms of age, in terms of maybe athleticism, but somebody that is a better basketball fit for what the Warriors like to do moving forward. And it is tough to come up with specific names at this point, Dibs, because to your point, you don't know what exactly the assets that are going to be at the Warriors' disposal to try and get any of this accomplished.
And it's an interesting question, JD, as far as which direction do you go? 888-957-9570, one big fish to get your starting five up to the elite level, or 2 to 3 little guppies to fill up that second unit. What are Warriors fans thinking about as far as their preference? 888-957-9570. Assuming that the same asset allocation would be required to make both happen. You know, if you're able to sign and trade Oubre Jr. for a player who could be your 7th guy, and then you trade the Minnesota pick for 2 players who can be your 6th man and maybe your 9th man, as opposed to your pick, the Minnesota pick, and Wiggins for Bradley Beal, for example.
And I think, you know, too often we think, because it's sexier to do it, Goo, we think big. We think about go get the big superstar. But there is that level in between. And I think, you know, a lot of Warrior fans would be uncomfortable with, oh, what, the 15th pick is going for a bench player? Oh, the 4th pick is going for 2 guys that are in the rotation? Like, I feel like a lot of Warriors fans are going to look at that and almost think that that's beneath them. But the truth is, Goo, that is an area where this team can improve based on where they are now and get Steph some help that isn't that superstar caliber.
You know what, JD? You guys are getting me excited. And I think if we mask it, it's saying we need the new Iguodala. We need the new Livingston. You know, to be Dibs, I think you could process it better like, oh, because I don't have to tell or describe to you, you know, what part those guys played in strength and numbers. The Barbosas, the Ian Clarks. That's what this team is missing.
Right. Yeah, and I think the Barbosas in the Ian Clark Stibbs, I mean, I think they have those guys. I actually think the Lees and the Bazemores, I mean, those guys are that level. It's the Iguodala Livingston level that the Warriors need to hit on.
And are they an attractive enough destination to where those players would want to take a discount to come in and be that guy, you know, for David West and, you know, Livingston, who probably could have gone out and milked the market for more, but wanted to be here and wanted to be part of a championship core. I mean, does Steph Curry have that drawing power in a situation where if I was an NBA player, I would love to play with Steph Curry? But you look at this Warrior team and you're 10th in the West, you're not on the cusp of a championship. And if I'm a 33, 34-year-old player, I might be looking to greener pastures trying to get that chip, even though playing with Steph is definitely an attraction.
It's an attraction, but I also think, really, Goo, the reality is the Warrior, it's not guys that you're going to go sign because they want to come. It's guys that you're going to go trade for and basically force to come because you're able to trade cap. Like, to me, that's what it is. And you don't want the 34-year-old guys. To me, you want 28-year-old guy. Like, how old was Iguodala when Iguodala came? You know, he was what, 30? I mean,
you want
a guy that's in the middle of his prime, really two of them that can come in and plug some of these holes, Goo.
I know it's different circumstances, but I got to ask you this, Dibs and JD. You tell me what you think. In regard to this being Golden State being a locale or a destination, isn't Steph Curry one for one when you talk about Lakeup going out to get Durant and Durant looking around and saying, I know different circumstances, I want to play with them? Because I'm hearing that a lot, like, isn't it an attraction? And I'm like, hell yeah, it's got to be an attraction. And with the caveat of Klay Thompson being available, I just think, you know, Steph hasn't struck out in regard to, I don't want to go to Golden State because they're far off.
Well, I mean, you could look at this year and all the buyout market players, none of whom kicked the tires on Golden State, and the Warriors were hoping to get Marc Gasol, and that didn't work out. I mean, granted, they haven't flown to someone's house cross country and struck out, but, you know, a lot of players have moved to a lot of different teams, and the Warriors haven't been players in any of that. Fortunately, you got something for Kevin Durant via D'Angelo Russell, which turned into Andrew Wiggins. That, to me, was a win for the Warriors front office, the way they were able to maneuver that, JD, and not just lose KD for nothing. But other than that, the new players on this team, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Michael Mulder, you know, these are players that basically were not on any other team. I don't want to say scrap heap guys, but they weren't players who were high-priced free agents who you brought in. Damian Lee, same thing. I mean, there hasn't been a guy outside of Kelly Oubre Jr., who is a classic journeyman, in Kent Bazemore, who's also a journeyman. So can they do it this offseason where they can, you know, maybe Kelly Oubre Jr., it's a sign and trade, and then you can bring in, like JD's describing, a player who's 29 or 30, 30, 31, someone who's got 3 to 4 good, solid years left as a seventh man.
Well, and the reality is, it's the Bazemores and the Lees are the guys that have come and signed. That's the reality. The Oubres and the Wiggins are the guys that you've traded for. Like, that, to the point that I'm trying to make, like, you went and forced those guys to come, and those guys are better, you know, level, those are at a higher level than the guys that have chosen to come. And so that's right. And I think the buyout market proves it. I think, you know, Avery Bradley, the Warriors are better off for not getting Avery Bradley considering the season he had, but that was considered, oh, go get Avery Bradley. And Avery Bradley said, I'll go 10 different places before I'll go to the Warriors.
Yeah, he hit a three on the Warriors the other night with the Rockets. But other than that, I don't think what ails this team is the fact they don't got Bradley. I'm excited. I'm excited for this year. I'm excited for Steph, and I'm excited to see how they play up and where they end up, because this could be something we don't expect, like we believe. And I know that's a stretch, but I'm here for it.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, featuring Sean.
That's a problem.
Dickinson.
All right, moving along here on a Tuesday. It's JD, Guru, Dibs. Let's get to our next guest, our very own, 95.7 The Game, one of our Warriors analysts. Of course, the TV play-by-play man for the Warriors as well. Bob Fitzgerald joins us here on 95.7 The Game. Fitz, thanks a lot, as always. Really appreciate it. And my goodness, every night, something new for Stephen Curry, but it all adds up to great.
It really is something to watch somebody at age 33 now do something he's never done before, and that's the, you know, seven straight games of 30 or more, and then you have the, you know, history passing Wilt, and, you know, he had a smooth 10 threes. I wanted him to crank up a few more, but other than that, I mean, you never really should take Steph Curry for granted, and the brilliance that we get to watch on a nightly basis, it's just amazing.
Fitz, can you help me start a petition? And the petition is, can we get the guy his statue while he's still playing? Has that ever happened? I mean, if it hasn't, Fitz, this is the Ricky Henderson of that. I mean, real quick, Fitz, just talk about when he first came into the league as to what he is now.
Well, when he first came into the league, and this is where, you know, I try to help people with Wiseman and all this other stuff and LaMelo Ball and Tyreke Evans and all that, is that you got to have a history perspective. Steph's first summer league, he couldn't make a shot. He got to Vegas and everybody's like, oh, the seventh pick in the draft, he's this great shooter. He couldn't make a shot. You know, and then as a rookie, he got bounced around a little bit and like, oh, is he a point guard? Is he Gennaro Pargo? You know, how good is he going to be? And then, you know, oh, then he had the ankle issues. And all, you know, I still remember, I mean, I think it was on ESPN, but, you know, Curry and his papier-mâché ankles are never going to be anything. And, like, same stuff you have with the young guys now where everybody's got the knives out because they have no clue in terms of perspective or history. And then, oh, by the way, the only unanimous MVP, the back-to-back MVPs, you know, the five trips to the finals, the three titles, the 400 threes, the greatest shooter ever in the history of the sport. He'll have the most threes ever. He'll be the greatest free thrower ever. And at 33, you tell me when he's going to slow down, because it doesn't look like at age 33 when he's playing some of his best basketball without Clay, that when you add Clay and you have Steph, Clay, Wiggins, Draymond, and Wiseman, and hopefully Minnesota's lottery pick, you know, that the Warriors are – they got another climb to the mountaintop. I mean, it's coming. They're going to be in the mix a lot sooner than people around the league want it to happen. So, you know, again, perspective and the growth. But I think also as a person, you know, I remember, and I don't think he'll mind me telling this, but, you know, we did a corporate event where his mom was, like, giving me her cell number and saying, look, if Steph gets out of pocket, Bob, you got to call me and let me know what's going on. And, oh, you know, man, and stuff like that. And I'm like, Sonia, like, Steph and I, you know, are spending some time together and playing golf and hanging out, like, or whatever. But I ain't going to be snitching on him. Like, that's not my deal. But then, you know, when he and Aisha, you know, I know the story in terms of their family relationships and how they met. And then, you know, when he got serious with her and then got engaged and then married and then, you know, Riley and Ryan and Cannon being born, and just like, just to see the whole arc of him as a human being. And there's no, you know, I tell people, be like, you know, is there some, you know, Steph kicking puppies on the side? No, Steph Curry, and Rick Welts says it, we always steal it, he's not as good as he seems. He's actually better. He's better than you would imagine. I've seen him with kids and Make-A-Wish. And I mean, just he's really an incredible person. And then, by the way, he's a fantastic athlete. But he's one of the most special people I've ever met in my entire life, or I've even seen as a public figure in my entire life.
More on Steph in the big picture, and including you throwing Guru a bone in the TV broadcast up, Fitz. But talking about Steph Curry, the man, Aaron Showtime Taylor does PA for the Houston game, and Curry and your role in the post game. Just talk to us about how special that was for you as a TV veteran to see Steph Curry there with Showtime Taylor and in that moment.
Well, that's the thing, Dibs, is that, you know, you have, you know, the Warriors had the ugly Washington loss, right? And you know, they win a game, all right? So they beat Houston. That's great. And Steph's going to do an interview, but he's like, you know what? There's a bigger moment happening here today than just this NBA game. So let me walk over and, you know, and bring Aaron in and share in that moment. And just like, a little redemption story that Marcus Thompson chronicled so incredibly well, by the way. That's just who Steph is. That's the type of thing. Like, you know, a global awareness, like the stuff he does for women's rights, the thing he's aware of, you know, for the culture type of thing, the relationship he and Aisha have had with Oakland. He's just aware of so many things other than just, by the way, I'm a great three-point shooter. And that encapsulated it. That was a great moment for Aaron Taylor, by the way. And I was so happy for him. And then to have Steph kind of honor that and bring it all full circle, it was just amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And Bob Fitzgerald joining us here on 95.7 The Game. As far as the Warriors moving forward here, 18 games to go. It's amazing how one night, one win can flip the perspective pretty quickly. You kind of erase the Washington game with the win against Denver a little bit, and now you got the five-game trip. What is it about this team when they are forced to go smaller? And this is not an indictment of Wiseman. I don't want people taking it that way. But when they're forced to go smaller, what is it that it unlocks to where this team is able to still be successful? Because it's happened at a couple of different points this year.
Yeah, the only thing is you can't play that way all the time. They're doing it out of necessity. You know, the Warriors kind of, you know, set the NBA on its ear when they did Draymond at the speed five in their heyday, but they never did Draymond at the speed five for 48 minutes. It was always little doses of it because teams weren't ready for multi-dimensional switching defenses where you could put Andre out there with Draymond and Durant and Steph and Clay, and you'd switch everything and the whole bit. Size matters, and size wins eventually because the Warriors are the worst rebounding team in the league. So when you're eighth in opponent's field goal percentage defense, you were fifth, and you get teams to miss, that's awesome. But if they miss and get to whack at it three or four extra times, the math doesn't work. So they had a great three-point shooting night. Steph had 53. They beat a really elite team in Denver. And you'll rally up here without size. But the bummer for the year is Marquese Chris gone, Wiseman gone, Clay gone, and right now Pascal and Oubre gone. I mean, that's five of your best 10 players that aren't playing. And so, yeah, you can limp along and have these rally-up moments, which they do, which is a huge credit to their DNA and their grittiness and their competitiveness and their leadership. You know, Draymond was amazing last night. But on the eventuality of the remaining 18, you're going to get out-rebounded. You're going to get worn down. You can't play Looney 31 minutes. Juan is not getting any taller. And it's going to suck because you don't have size. But they still have a puncher's chance because of the way they shoot and the way they move the ball. And they're not a team that's going to feel sorry for themselves. And they're going to go in and scratch and claw and, you know, and give their best over these final 18. And, you know, hopefully that results in kind of a play-in tournament opportunity.
Fitz, I love it, and I got to share with you, Friday, your boy was down after the game. I was down. That was a low point for me. And why didn't you just give it to Steph? But that's another day, Fitz. But I'm telling these guys, Phoenix, Utah, Denver, now with their injury history, you know, their injury to Murray, where I'm going, Fitz, is I'm going Buffalo Springfield. I feel like something's happening, and last night was the formula. And I just think if you get Curry in a seven-game series, watch out. Anything can happen. Have you resigned from that, or are you kind of at the front door of that party I'm trying to have?
Well, here's the thing, and you've been on to this, and when it happens, I'm going to give you credit, is I think the Warriors can be in the 9-10, and I think they can win that game. And I'm hopefully they're hosting that game. And then they will play the loser of the 7-8 game. Dallas is going to win that 7-8 game. And so if the Warriors then win into the 8th spot, it's the one team I want them to face, and that's Utah. In that it, because you know Quinn Snyder and Gobert and Donovan Mitchell and Conley are like, oh, no, we got to deal with the Warriors and beat them four times? And they're better, and Utah's amazing, and they'll have the best record. But if I'm the Jazz, the Warriors are the last team I want to see in a seven-game series because of Draymond and because of Steph in particular and because, wait a minute, Wiggins and Oubre and hopefully get Pascal by then. Now, if you had Wiseman, I'd feel better because he can outrun Gobert and do a few other things, but that would be a spicy little seven gamer that maybe get a game or two and you know, definitely make it exciting, because when you've had the seven straight playoff years and then you had last year with just Steph breaking his hand and the whole injury year, you want to still be in the mix. You know, that's the thing about San Antonio with 22 straight playoff years and this and that. Always be in the mix. And that other guys will be well served. It's not like Wiggins or Oubre or Pascal or Damian Lee. None of these guys have great playoff experience. Give them games where they feel it, you know, and let Steph and Draymond teach them how to feel it, because you're going to need people into the next couple of years that are going to matter, you know, in crunch time games. And Wiggins is the guy I'm thinking of the most, by the way, because I want him to cap off the best year of his career by having some playoff minutes.
Yeah, two-way wig on display last night. And while you're giving Guru credit, Bob, I got to give you credit because you're a man of your word. You said you were going to throw Goo a bone, and Saturday night against the Rockets, we had this.
Plus three in points off turnovers. And they're on their way to 30 assists.
Curry! He shot that from Union City.
You shouted out the Yoon for our boy, Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Hey,
you said you'd do it, Fitz, and you came through in the clutch. Good job,
when
Bob.
When I make a promise, you know, I'm gonna come through. I mean, that's it. Now I got to pick my timing and my spots on different things. But, no, I knew Union City mattered, and I've been asking. It's the one thing, you know, it's I don't do a lot of the, you know, the same, you know, kind of phrases. That's just not my thing. But I do like the distance thing. So if they're on the road, it'll usually be a suburb that somebody shoots from. And Bay Area-wise, you know, in Oakland we had Fremont for sure and the BART station and other things at Oracle. And now, you know, I admit, you know, year two at Chase, I'm kind of struggling. Like, is it the Ferry Building? Is it, you know, from the Bay Bridge? And, you know, Guru said, hey, Union City. I'm like, all right, Union City. So you may hear another Union City now and again, but if you have
got
other
the mayor wanting to do lunch with me, Fitz, my star is rising, man.
No, but if there's other, you know, if there's other distant areas that need to be mentioned, please keep them coming because I'll have to rotate them in.
Yeah, that's great stuff. It's funny. I was we were watching the game on Saturday, and I thought Union City, and I didn't know the backstory. I thought Union City. Is he talking about Guru? it was kind of a funny moment. Now I feel fully connected to it. Fitz, great stuff. Really appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Yeah, you guys. You know, I don't want to say I drove off the road, but I did pause for a second with the Detroit Lions. I was like, ouch, that hurts right there. And actually, I would make an argument that as much as I love Barry Sanders, you know I'm a Walter Payton guy. So,
right,
I
mean, sweet.
I'm taking Walter Payton all day over Barry Sanders. So that was the.
Hey, Fitz, real quick before you go, I'll never forgive Ditka for not giving the ball to Sweetness in the Super Bowl and gave it to Fridge. I love Fridge. That hurt me.
Don't even get me started.
Okay.
Don't even get me started.
I'll call you, Bob.
All right,
Thanks,
guys.
Bob.
Keep up the good stuff. Take care.
All right, Bob Fitzgerald joining us here on 95.7 The Game. As you listen to 95.7 The Game, it's KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Station, and everything you hear here brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. We're halfway through on a Tuesday with John Dickinson.